Before I start with this, I would like for us again to sing the song that we sang Wednesday night. I kind of think of this as a song I want to remember in the days out ahead. Damon, or could you start that verse again about an amazing God, just the chorus? I still serve, or Robert? About the power that God has to bring about change. You know, any difficulty that we have times where we get in danger, as we heard from Irma's testimony this morning, the Lord protects us. But you know, I'm thinking tonight about there's other places that this amazing God wants to work in our life. Yes. I was thinking about how that He would like for me to be a partaker of His divine nature. For Him to be able to achieve that in my life, He's going to have to show me some of my own nature that I need to be able to get rid of. And so tonight, over the last few weeks, I've been thinking about this. Tonight, I would like to share just one of those things that can affect us. And that is, if I were going to give a topic to this tonight, it's three words. That's not fair. And I'd put a couple exclamation points at the back end of it. How soon in life do we learn to use those words? Real early, unless you're an only child. Real early, children start noticing he got something better than I did, or his was a little bigger than mine was for a toy or whatever. And it becomes real easy to say, that's not fair. You know, sometime when there are several children in the home and chores are divided up week after week, you know, it's pretty easy to say next week, that's not fair. I hauled the trash out last week. Now, I was talking to Irma about this to see if I was wrong, but we never used those words at home because Mom was one of the old school teachers. And her job was, if I said it's not fair, I didn't say it. I thought it, but I didn't say it. Because if I would say it, she would say, okay, for a little while you do your job and that other job. And then you'll be happy to take care of this one. She had some things about her that taught us some lessons. And there was another one that we never used. You hear some children sometimes say, I'm bored. We never said, I'm bored. Irma said that Mom would walk through the house sometimes saying, I'm looking for somebody that's bored. So we would never say those words. But you know, sometimes this right here, this nature that we can have, that's not fair. I thought about that. It starts out real young in us. And does it end when I get to a certain age, or does it take on other forms? Mom taught us a lot of lessons. And I would think about this as an example. If she had just made a cake and she said for me to cut it in pieces for everybody to have some, you know what would end up? There's one piece that's mine and it's bigger than all the rest of them. So how she would cure that was, okay, it's cut. Now, everybody else picked first. Go ahead and get yours, and then Dan will get his afterwards. You know, the next time I'd cut a cake, if I had to measure it, I'd be wanting to make sure that thing was just right, because this is how it's going to work. Well, I have a verse that I'd like to start out with. It's over in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and the 11th verse. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So I'd like to just kind of use that verse tonight and think, okay, do I reach an age when this is something that follows children? That's not fair. Do I reach an age where I've grown out of that? I no longer feel that way. No, my ability to use it expands as I get older. And I thought about it this way. If you looked in the yellow pages and you look at how many pages there are of law firms, lawyers that you can call, what is their purpose? Dealing with things that are not fair. Leveling the playing field and getting a bonus for doing it. To be able to try to make this, and I was looking at the definition of this, to make it equal or just. That's the lawyer's job, is I want to, you have been injured, you have been done wrong, and I'm going to make it be equal. But you know what? At the end of it all, often life itself is not fair. So you start looking in the Bible, and I looked at this. You know, Joseph, when he was born, it was through no fault of his own that his dad picked him to be a favorite. Joseph didn't go around saying, "Dad, won't you make me the best?" Somehow, Jacob made a big mistake. And you know, if we ever do it, we can make a big mistake. Because it brings up this thing of, that's not fair. You know, as much as possible, we ought to, with our families, with our children, let's make it to be fair. In this one with Joseph, I thought about that. When he looked at that coat of many colors, his brothers looked at it, and you know what they wanted to do? Level the playing field. This is not fair. And they went to some steps to take care of it. You know, Joseph could have said the same thing when he went through all the things that he faced in his life. From the time that he was in the pit after having carried food to his brothers until he went to Pharaoh's side. I've counted it as being 13 years of life not being fair. But I look at the example that he left us. You know, a person can be ruined because life itself is not fair all the time. I can be ruined by how I take care of this right here. When God would like for me to be a partaker of a divine nature, He has something for us. I want to look at another one. This also affects us. Luke 12 and 13th verse. This man went to Jesus. One of the company said to him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Now that seems like that ought to be a good request. I want things fair. I want it to be distributed to where everybody gets an equal portion. Well, did Jesus say, "I tell you what, as soon as I get preaching, I'm going to get through preaching this message, I'm going to go take care of that for you." What did he say? "Man," 14th verse, "who made me a judge or a divider over you?" So I like to think about this. You know, it probably was not fair, or he wouldn't have come to him asking him to cause it to be fair. But what Jesus did was just look right on through all that. He didn't try to write the things and make it fair. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." So he went right on past what a lawyer would do of saying, "I'm going to make things fair for you." And he dealt with the heart. What I do, should it never be fair? What am I going to do with that? There is something that Jesus did as he talked on the Sermon on the Mount. The instruction that he gave us, you know, it was hardly ever about, we're going to make things fair. Instead, he gave us some instruction like this. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, and the 38th verse, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Now that's fair. You hurt me, and I'll hurt you back. But I say unto you, here's the instruction that Jesus gives. I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. What instruction for then and also for now. What about for me when things just are not fair? What's my attitude going to be? Because I'm headed through this life and headed for eternity. And I can allow some things to cause something to happen inside of me. So I look at another one. In Luke 6 and 31. The instruction that Jesus gave back then, I believe will cause us to be able to have the peace that he said he would give us. In the 31st verse, as you would that men should do to you, do ye so also to them likewise. The golden rule. You know, we don't hear much about the golden rule anymore. What if last year and this year in America, every person would pledge, I'm going to live the golden rule. As I want you to do to me, then I will feel free to do to you. Would there be the rioting? Would there be the destruction? Would one person want to harm another person? It would all change. And this is the instruction that God, that Christ gives for us. As you would that men do to you, do ye even so to them. Now it doesn't say, if they do this, then you do this. But it all just goes, no matter if that part doesn't change, here's how I live my part. And I think we're going to have to go back to last week's message that Sister Maxine gave us in the morning. As we listen to it, it's going to be very important that I remember Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Of the people that confessed that they were a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm just passing through this world. I'm heading for another. And there is just a little clip of a verse in the middle of that that says, if they would have been mindful, they could have returned to the country. What does that mean for me today with this message? If I want to, I can move away from the instruction that Christ gave me. And I can live like the world lives around me and forget that I'm headed for another country. It's my desire to go to another country. We also heard there, Romans, the 8th chapter. What will separate us? What can separate us from the love of Christ? And it listed some pretty major things there. But it said, I'm persuaded nothing will be able to do it. How could Paul say that? Was life fair for Paul? I mean, just time after time. Is it fair to be beaten so many times? The shipwrecks, all the things that happened to him, he could have easily said, it's not fair. But you know what happened? He had a heavenly vision. In fact, he had two heavenly visions. The first one started him on his journey. And the second one he got during the journey of what it was like in paradise. To the point that when he had prayed, it's just not fair that I am sick, or whatever it was that was the thorn in the flesh for him. And he asked the Lord three times, I would like for you to take this thing away. You know, easily he could have said, this just doesn't seem fair. There's other people that have no health problems or whatever the problem was. Other people don't have this trouble. So, Lord, I need you to take it away. When the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul had a decision to make. He could have finished his life saying, it's not fair. And when we do that, we stop being able to help someone else. He could have finished his life and he would not have been able to close it out at the end and say, I have fought a good fight. I've finished this course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. You know what we're going to have to do is keep a vision that when life's not fair, when things are done wrong and I see it, what am I going to do about it? Because what I do about it is very important. Because if I'll keep that heavenly vision, I'm going to be able to have victory when life is not fair. I think I've read this poem before, but I'd like to read it again. What has God promised for us? This one says, God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. He has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. He has not promised that we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us that we shall not bear many a burden and many a care. Well, you'd look at all that and say, it doesn't seem fair. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. He never promised that we would not have those things. But it says, here's what he has promised. He's promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. He's promised grace for the trials and help from above, unfailing sympathy and undying love. You know what? And that promise can take us through anything that life throws at us that is not fair. I was thinking too of a song that we have in our book. For too well thy Savior loves thee to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. He would have thee. He's got a desire. You know, when everything is going and I'm self-sufficient, I don't run to him near as fast. It says he would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. He would have that world seem brighter where alone is perfect rest, where alone things are going to be fair when we get over there. So as I think about this for us, I'd like to look at some things that we can either look at it that it's not fair, or we can get on top of it. Psalm 66. I'd like to go look at that one. Because I believe there's a secret here for us. 66 and 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Now that just starts out the very first part of this reading. Is this recognizing, it doesn't say for sure who the writer of this one was, but whoever it was, they were recognizing, God, you're the one that has sent something to prove me. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. You see, on all these things, he's saying, God, I recognize you as being the one that has allowed this to come to me. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. You know how easy it would be to put a name to the man that rode over my head? To the person that caused me trouble, I remember them instead. All these things have been attributed to God. You have allowed these things in our life. You know, we look at them different when we will look at them as being from God. We went through fire. We went through water. But thou, again, Lord, you were the one that did it. Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. So when trouble came to this person, he recognized it all as coming from God. And I was thinking about Job. to be able to lose in the first chapter all of his temporal possessions, you know, that was not fair. The ones that did it to him, it told us the Sabaeans took these, the Chaldeans took these. And you know how something wants to churn? If there's a lawyer that I can get in the yellow pages, I need to get this thing leveled again. It's not fair. But what did Job do? He rent his garments. He fell on his face, but he wasn't kicking his feet in anger. He fell on his face and he worshiped. You know, every one of us are going to have things come into our life that is not fair. And we have a choice that we're going to make. Lord, help me to realize I'm just passing through here anyhow. And I am going to have to take care of my attitude if I expect to see that heavenly country. So Job, when it finished up, he fell and he worshiped. And he said, the Lord gave it, and it was the Lord that took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To do that, then I put it all to the Lord. Lord, you got some purpose in this thing, so I commit it to you. I don't have a person's name now that did me wrong. I have, God, you allowed something to come into my life. And in Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, God tells them, you're going into captivity for 70 years. And he gives them a little piece of instruction in the 4th verse, whom I have caused to be carried away into captivity. You know how easy it would have been as you're walking as a captive to Babylon to say Nebuchadnezzar came in here and did this. And then what if the God of heaven speaks to you and says, I'm the one that caused you to be carried away into captivity. You know what? It sounds different then. If on the things that I'm going through, I can realize, God, I'm living for you. The things that come into my life that may not seem fair, you have allowed it for some reason. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. What if it was that God saw that there is humility that I need, and it can come through no other way than somebody riding over my head? And I don't realize it, but my opportunity to miss the celestial city is hinging on what I do with that at that time. There's another attitude that goes along with that's not fair. And that is, seems that they want to go together. It's not my fault. Have you ever thought about using that one? We hear it in the world today. It's not my fault. And I was thinking of a verse. There's some promises that the Lord gave the children of Israel. Let's look at something. In Deuteronomy 28 and 7. If you read this chapter, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, one half of it is all the blessings that the Lord wants to bestow on his people. In fact, look at that second verse. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. It's almost like you couldn't get away from the blessings I want to pour on you no matter what you tried. They'll overtake you. But it gives some instruction. So before I look at that instruction, let's look at the seventh verse. Here's what the Lord wants to do. Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Now that sounds wonderful. That's a promise from Almighty God. That's the first half of the 28th chapter. And the instruction of how to be able to receive that is in the very first part of the first verse. And it shall come to pass if. That's a decision that I have to make right there, whether this promise is going to be enacted or not. It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations. So the first part, first half of this 28th chapter, tells of all the blessings that will come if I observe to do. But if you look at about the 15th verse, it changes. Anytime you see but, something's fixing to happen. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And now the rest of the chapter, almost some of the places is verse by verse, just being reversed. What in the first half said it'll be a blessing, God says in the second half, if you don't do these things will be a curse to you. So I look at, there is a part that we have to play. It would be nice if we said, Lord, you promised it in the Bible, and I expect you to stand up to your promise. But I believe it'd be good sometime for us to do a Bible study of how many promises have a hinge to them. It's activated by something that I have to do. This 7th verse, the enemies that rise up will be smitten, is only activated when I've done the first verse. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. You remember in Joshua, when the Lord was talking to Joshua, only be thou strong, said no man will be able to stand against you. Well, you know, there were times when they fled. The second battle was they were running from the enemy. Why was that? Because there were some instructions given. If you will do this, I will do this. When they didn't obey those instructions, a few people from Ai could chase them away when the Jericho was defeated by them. So I'm thinking about this. It's not my fault. It's not fair. Jeremiah. You ever read the book of Jeremiah? I feel so sorry for him. He came at a time when it was his message from the beginning to the ending of Jeremiah was trying first of all to turn the leaders, because that's where it starts, turn the people around back to serving God again. The times he went into prison for it, the times he was thrown down in the mire to die, but he would come out and keep on warning. Well, you know, those warnings after a few chapters, they started turning. Still warning, if you'll change, things can be good for you. But you know, there came a time in the book of Jeremiah where he says it's too late. It won't do you any good now to fight. It won't do you any good to change. They're coming. And if you want to live, the best thing for you to do is just follow them on down to Babylon for 70 years. So I look at this. You remember where the king, when Jeremiah wrote to him, wrote some things that God had given him, and they read it to the king, and the king had so little regard for what God had said that as they would read a page, he would cut it off with a knife and throw it in the fire. You know, that did not cancel out what God had to tell them. You remember at that time, the Lord told Jeremiah, write it again and add some things to the end of it. There are some other punishments that's coming now. But while I'm telling you all that, right up in the middle of this goes a man into captivity named Daniel with an excellent spirit. You know what he had the opportunity to do? It's not my fault. I was walking close to God back there in Jerusalem or wherever he lived. I was following his commandments. He might have been praying 3 times a day then too. But off he goes into captivity. He could have said, that's not fair. It's not fair that I suffer along with those that rebelled and have been of no benefit at all, with a bad attitude. But instead, that excellent spirit that he went into captivity with caused him to be ready to be of help to others. You remember the verses that we saw there where Jesus was teaching, do good for your enemy. If he compels you to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles with him. What instruction was given? And here, Daniel goes into captivity. How did Nebuchadnezzar know that Daniel could interpret a dream? Daniel didn't have to say a thing about helping out with his dreams. But instead, Daniel said, there's a God in heaven that's able to reveal these things and was able to do what he could, not one time, but time after time. And when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he could have said, it's not fair.
Yes.
'Cause you know, he was high. He had a high position in the government there. He could have said, it's not my fault. But instead, what he did was he took that excellent spirit. And the next morning when the king cried out with a lamentable voice, Daniel, has your God saved you?
Yes.
What did that excellent spirit cause him to say? That's not fair. What do you mean doing that anyhow? O king, live forever.
Yes.
What a spirit. I'd like to look at another verse. What does all that have to do with us today? In Matthew 25, and 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his servants and he delivered to them his goods. He gave to one 5, another 2, and to another 1. What I would like to think about for a little bit is that talent. And I've thought about this. What if one of those talents that is given to everybody with a purpose of seeing what you will do with it is called an attitude? Handed it to you, and now see how you will trade with it. Will you trade up? Will it have more value? Or will it have no value when he comes back for it? Hebrews 12 and 15 says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The talent that could have been a blessing to others, we could bury it. Folks, if there's ever a time that we need to have a good attitude, and it doesn't have to require us putting our head in the sand and we don't understand what the truth is about things happening around us. But you know, Daniel, right down in captivity and never going to be able to be free again, gave his life to help other folks. An excellent spirit. What does all this have to do with me? I thought about this. Our country, for years now, has been on a spiral downhill morally. Can you think back, even my age, younger than me, how the world was some years ago and how it is today? And I'm talking about moral issues. Isaiah 5 and 20 says, woe to people that call evil good and good evil. Is that happening in our land today? And not just today, but for some years. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. Some things that a few years ago when I was a child, I remember as a child that there were called blue laws. There was so much respect for God that nothing was open on Sunday. There may be a gas station just enough for you to be able to get from one place to another. But things have changed. Sunday is almost like any other day of the week for us to be able to do business. Ten Commandments used to be posted. Today they're taken down. Prayer gone from schools. I remember when I was a child in school, you not only had prayer in the morning together, but you bring your Bibles to school and we'll study out of them for a little bit. And it wasn't to try to turn people away from God. Abortion is now applauded. Same-sex marriage is now approved.
Yes.
And we are here to live today. Not fair, not my fault, but I got an attitude that the Lord has given me to do something with. Will I be able, like Daniel, to have an excellent spirit? You think Daniel didn't see wrong and talk about it when it needed to be talked about? Remember with Belshazzar? That was some pretty straight talking he gave to Belshazzar. You knew about Nebuchadnezzar. You knew those things that happened to him, and you didn't turn your heart. But you know what? He still had that excellent spirit that when that handwriting on the wall needed to be interpreted, you know, it was the queen that said, go find Daniel. He can tell you what this says. And did she say, well, I hope he got up on the wrong side, on the right side of the bed today, because boy, when he's got a bad attitude, forget it. Just go see him. He's ready. He'll help you out. So when I see all these things and I look in the Bible and it tells me about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I realize, you know, judgment is coming for this kind of living. And I don't think this, I don't want this to be a sad message for us. Get our attitude right. Daniel went through a lot of trouble and was able to be a help to people around him. I was looking over in Ezekiel. There's some places in Ezekiel where there were some people saying that the Lord just was not fair. In Ezekiel 18 and 25, yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? If you were to read this chapter, he told about his ways, how his ways were equal. If a man that is doing wickedly and headed for the judgment to be punished, if he would turn from that wickedness, all the things that he had done would not be remembered anymore. What a blessing that is, that salvation can erase all of our past and it's not remembered anymore. But he didn't stop with that. He said the righteous man, in the day that he turns from his righteousness, all the good things that he has done, all of his righteousnesses will not be remembered in the day that he does evil. And then he tells us, my ways are equal. God's ways truly are equal. I'd like to look at it. So for me today, I'd like to look at a couple more verses. One of them is in, how should I be living in this day and time? 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 17th verse. Here's what I need to be doing. Honor all men. Yes. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Yes. And in the 19th verse, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now look at that verse. That means it's not fair. He suffered wrongfully. This is thankworthy if he will do it. Yes. For what glory is it, 20th verse, when you be buffeted for your faults that you take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Lord, help us when trouble comes our way and we're not done fair, that we will do what Jesus did. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Then there's another verse in Romans in the 12th chapter and in the 16th verse. Be of the same mind one toward another. Yes. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And then it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So there is a verse of a song. It says the world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptation is sharp and keen. But I feel a peace in knowing that my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He's promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. In John 14 and 33, when he was telling them, there's some troublesome times coming, said, these things I've spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I am so thankful for that, that just as God helped Daniel to have an excellent spirit, may we, as we go through the things that are out ahead for us, have an excellent spirit. That does not come from me just saying I can do it. It comes from me humbling myself before the Lord and telling him I can't do it without your help. I need you to help me to be an example. Because you know what? We can see around us the results of trying to level the playing field ourselves. Lord, may we be. This is a mission field for us today. Sometimes when we feel like, you know what, I don't have a very bright light. I want to tell you, if you can have a positive attitude and be able to tell people why you have a positive attitude in such a dark time when morals are gone, and yet I serve a God that is able to help us through this, that light will be brighter than we recognize. May the Lord help us each one, encourage us. When we feel like there's something that's not fair, we don't have to say, okay, I'm sorry, I believe it is fair. We can recognize when something is not fair. But what do I do with my attitude? Will I trade up or will I trade down? He's coming back one day to check and see what the value of it is. Lord, help me.